In the original ritual of baptism in the early church, baptism was done by immersion. Our Lord Jesus himself was baptized by immersion by St. John the Baptist and then Jordan River. And this is to symbolize death to the world and self-sin and bringing up out of the waters to symbolize resurrection in Christ to the glory of God the Father and for the salvation of our souls. So the symbolism is very, very strong in the early church as far as baptism was concerned, to show to us that all of us who believe in Jesus Christ and who are baptized into his physical body, all of us have received the same thing that he has received. We have received death to sin, and we have received resurrection to eternal life. It's the same way as our Lord had, if we follow his laws and obey his holy will. So St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, and to us as well, is very, very clear in this point. And it's really important for human beings to understand that when we live as Christians, when we live as followers of God, and obedient to his laws and his holy will, we are dead to sin, especially mortal sin, because we have the grace of God living in us. And it gives us the life that we have, that we need, the spiritual life, to continue to grow spiritually, to become closer and closer to Almighty God by following his example and his holy laws and his holy will. But more importantly than this, it is for all the world around us to see that we are alive spiritually by the grace of God. And it is God's grace that makes us alive. It is not of our own doing. The only thing we have to do with it is we have the desire to seek after it, to give the consent to it so that it comes to us. And how does this combine with today's gospel about feeding of the 7,000? Well, today's gospel, St. Ambrose, the doctor of the church, tells us about today's gospel that the 7,000 represents the seven virtues. It represents the seven sacraments. He says, but gives them, more importantly, represents the seven of the speech that Christ gave on the Mount when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, when he gave the
Beatitudes.
Thank you. My mind is not what it used to be. Anyway, the seventh beatitude is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. And St. Ambrose tells us in this gospel that 7,000 represent, or the number seven, also seven fragments, represents the things that are left over from those of us who are striving to achieve spiritual perfection by following all Almighty God as an example. But he also talks about in today's his epistle about St. Paul, the idea that when an individual is hungry after something, the more hungry he is, the more he yearns for that, the food, the more he goes after it, the more he desires it, the more he consumes himself with it until he's satisfied. And it's the same thing with Almighty God. When we are hungry for God, for nothing can satisfy us but God Almighty, and he himself can only satisfy us. We go after him, and we pursue him by striving to do our good works by his grace. We are filled to the degree of our hunger, so we are satisfied. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, how hungry are we? How hungry are we as far as serving Almighty God is concerned? Are we hungry enough to pursue him above all things else in this world? Because St. Paul talks in very, very clear tones about the idea that there are distractions in this world. In Corinthians, he's very, very clear about the idea that the majority of things that man occupies himself with are distractions to take him away from God and serving Almighty God to the best of his ability. The enemy will use these things in the world to drive us away from God. He'll use these things in the world to make us preoccupied with other things, so we have no room for prayer. We have no room for God in our life. And this is very, very true in the world the way it is today. Many human beings who claim to be Christians, who claim to understand and know who Jesus Christ is, they are so wrapped up in the world that as of the way it is, they have no time for prayer. And their answer is simply, well, God has to understand. God understands everything. Understanding does not mean condoning. We are put here for only one reason. And the reason is to prove our worthiness to be with God for eternity in heaven. And we prove that worthiness by the decisions and the choices we make while we are here. So very, very simply, if we combine today's epistle and today's gospel together and see how this message applies to us in this time, very, very simply, it means only one thing. We must put God first in our life. We must serve him before anything else. You know, our Lord told us, seek first the kingdom of God and His justice, and all else will be given to you besides. So, why did they go into the desert to preach? Why did Jesus call the great crowd out into the wilderness to preach to them? So they wouldn't be distracted. The desert represents the idea of focusing completely on Almighty God and what He's telling us. So what kind of desert do we have in our hearts and our souls as far as the world is concerned? Are we in a desert? Or are we in the middle of a large megalopolis? Bustling all around us, distractions everywhere. We have to ask ourselves and use the idea of the spiritual desert. When hermits wanted to pray and focus on the Almighty God, they went away from people. They isolated themselves. Many of them lived in caves. They were by themselves so that they could commune with God alone and talk to Him and pour their soul out to Him and ask Him to help them to overcome themselves. Almighty God, in His divine patience, in His eternal patience, and His eternal mercy, He sits back and He waits for us to get through all the things we have to get through. And then when we come to Him, He's ready. When we ask Him for help, He's ready to help us. So very, very simply, if we understand the idea about going out to the desert to absorb more completely the Word of God, applying it to our daily lives and to our hearts and our souls, we must not distract ourselves when we are talking to Almighty God. Let's focus completely on Him. I think this is the message for today's epistle and gospel, is that we, as baptized children of God, have the grace that God gave us to become mirror images of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by following His example, by doing God's holy will. But in order to do that, we must keep ourselves focused on what God wants us to do. Very, very simply, if we allow ourselves to be distracted by the world to the point to where material problems become more important to us than the salvation of our soul, then we put ourselves in jeopardy. So we need to pray to Almighty God sincerely to ask Him to teach us to go to the desert, the spiritual desert, to receive His word and His love and His guidance without distraction, so that we can focus on God specifically and do His holy will to the best of our ability and achieve salvation in the process by His grace. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. A couple of announcements to make. First of all, I am going to Georgia on Wednesday. A woman that I know used to attend Mass in Charlotte, and after a while was actually attending Mass in Georgia for a little while until the congregation dissolved and was disbanded by Almighty God because of their peculiar ideas. But I've been in touch with her for a very long time. She was going to the monastery in Alabama. And so, of course, now the Abbey Jardine is no longer there. Monastery is pretty much kaput. So she has no place to go for Mass. I mean, it's just too far away from her. Anyway, her daughter has had another child. David Higgins and I drove down there, little David, about a year ago, wasn't it, Dave?
March.
Was it March of this year? Anyway, we were down there and I baptized her other children. And they are traditional Catholics in the true sense of the word, but so her daughter had another child, so I had to go down there and baptize her. So that's where I'm going this Wednesday. I'll be back here in time for Mass next Sunday. No problem with that. I need to ask you for prayers for a woman in Canada. Her name is Ann Stevers. Ann Stevers is George Stevers' mother. George Stevers is a person in my congregation, him and his wife and his Stevers family. That's where I stay when I go there. That's where the chapel is since Mrs. Newton is passing. And so Ann Stevens is in the hospital. She's had two surgeries this week, and she's not doing very, very well, so she needs our prayers and our spiritual support. That God will give her the grace that she needs to face whatever God has in store for her, whatever that is, so she can receive the grace to do so. And also, I need to ask for prayers for special intention, and it's an important special intention, otherwise I wouldn't be asking for it. God will reward you for your generosity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.